Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. On the road today, we are in Tucson. Brad Susmat with you, looking very much forward to today's show. We're right outside the U of A football offices, getting ready for Saturday. I mean, why sit around an office? Not that we don't like our uptown studios in Scottsdale at the airpark, by any stretch of the imagination. But when the story in Arizona sports this week is here in Tucson, U of A ranked 10th in the nation. Their game is sold out against USC. There's a chance it will be the most attended game in the history of U of A football. They're one win away from bowl eligibility here, and we're not even into the second week of October yet. They're pumped, they're psyched, they're geeked down here, and they should be. So looking very much forward to today's show. We have our weekly segment with Jake Plummer, all things around the NFL and college football. Jake Plummer, of course, part of the Pac-12 Network. He joins us every week on the show. Coming up at 10:30, Todd Walsh, Fox Sports Arizona. He's a big Wildcat fan, too, and the Coyotes open their season tonight. We'll talk with Todd Walsh. And coming up in hour number two, Greg Byrne, the athletic director here for the U of A, will be with us. As they've got Dave Pasch is going to be doing the game this week with Tommy Luganville and Brian Greasy. They'll be rolling on in here to do their thing. I saw Tommy was flying out last night from back east. So they're sending out a very good crew. The game is on ESPN2, 7:30 on Saturday night. Eric came down today with me.
Hi, Brad.
So
actually, you came down with me.
Actually, I met Eric and we came down together.
Correct. So, nice, easy, smooth, 1 hour and 20-minute drive.
Door to door.
Ahwatukee.
Door to door. Let's do our thing. And it's great setup here at the U of A. They are so accommodating and so hospitable. It's always great.
Always.
Come down here. They're very, very nice people. And there is definitely a vibe and a buzz of big game if you beat USC. And I think they feel as though, of course they do outwardly, but I think there's a feel around the program that they can beat USC and they could be sitting there 7-8. You don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves, but at the start of the year, we brought the show down. Jared and I came down here in, I believe it was May. We talked with Rich Rod, and then we took the show out to Pac-12 Media Day in Los Angeles and had Rich Rod and some of the players on. We came back down in August. And I think there was this, okay, what's going to happen with the quarterback?
Yeah, that was the $64,000 question at the time.
And
I think they did all right. I think Coach Rod picked the right one.
Well, they've got 70 freshmen or sophomores on their roster. 70, okay? And one of those is Anu Solomon. And he went through the quarterback competition. And you just look at some of the numbers that he's been able to put up so far this season and how he's been able to get his team to respond. Anu Solomon threw for 217 yards in the second half at Oregon.
It's crazy.
Led them to the go-ahead touchdown late in the game. He set school records in that game at 47 completions. That's a school record. 73 attempts, 520 yards. He's only a redshirt freshman. You look at that and you say, they're going to have something here for a few years.
I'll be interested to see Saturday, Brad, how U of A acts as the hunted instead of the hunter, because no longer are they, the school down in Tucson that is really good at basketball and wins 8 or 9 games in football and usually goes to a mid-tier bowl. Well, you are on the national map. You are a top 10 team.
Right.
You are hosting, although it's going to be late on the East Coast, like almost midnight on the East Coast when it starts.
Right.
But you're going to be on a national level and you're a home underdog against USC, which is, we all know what happened last weekend in Los Angeles. So we'll see. We'll see. This is more, Oregon was a measuring stick, but this is, okay, what can you do for an encore?
Well, I think, too, Eric, if you look at the amount of national attention U of A football has received here since the victory at Oregon, it's as much as I can remember through the years. I mean, outside of Desert Swarm, Sports Illustrated's done their big blowout on Rich Rod. Everybody's doing the stuff on Rich and how it didn't work out in Michigan.
Correct.
And that's fine. It is the angle, especially with Michigan blowing like they're blowing. And Rich Rod's come down here. He's 21-10. He has 2 wins over Oregon in those 21. Now, the ASU fans pointed this out to me last night, which is fine. I have no problems with this. Yeah, but he hasn't been able to beat us yet.
True.
It's fine.
It's true.
Numbers don't lie. I don't get all wound up about that
but
stuff.
But I would say, Brad, that Rich Rodriguez came into a situation with far less talent than Todd Graham did when he took over at ASU.
Oh, there's no question.
So you let's keep everything in perspective.
Let's breathe here a little bit. You know, Dennis's senior class is not very good top to bottom if you go through what was left over for Todd. And Todd's done a terrific job in going out and getting JUCO talent.
Of course. And Todd made Carl Bradford. I mean, I think that's safe to say, putting him in at the devil backer. I mean, he made Will Sutton. He gave Will Sutton the chance to be an all Pac-12 player, which he was. But still, it's hard when you come into a new situation and you have to take over someone else's recruits who were recruited for a completely different scheme than the one you're going to run.
But, you know, you look at what's gone on here. So Rich has gone out and has had kids transfer in. I don't know. Texas could use a wide receiver right about now, don't you think?
I would think so. I would think so.
And U of A sitting here, having done a terrific job with all their wide receivers at this point of the year. They have the open date this week, or next week rather, after the game against SC. Win or lose, they go to Washington State, which is going to be a trap game. It doesn't matter. If you win, you're going to be sky high. Lose, you got to get refocused to go to Pullman, which is never easy after a bye week.
It's hard just to get to Pullman, much less to play at Pullman.
Well, and then they have UCLA on the road. You look at that, and the Bruins, I think, can go one of two different directions.
Who knows?
You saw UCLA look really, really good when they smoked ASU on the road. Then you saw UCLA last week against Utah. They couldn't do anything right, special teams. They couldn't keep Hundley upright. So you don't know what that game's going to be like. Then Colorado comes here to Tucson. So, you know, like Rich pointed out, that they're one win away from being bowl eligible. They're going to be bowl eligible. They have Washington here. They have to go to Utah. And then they have the Territorial Cup game here.
All winnable games.
They're
all winnable games.
You beat USC here this week. My point on this is exactly what you brought up. Nobody gave them a shot in the Oregon game. And we said even back in August, that's going to be the litmus test. That's going to be the game. If they go to Oregon, they're able to win there. You look at the way the rest are scheduled. They have USC here. Nobody likes going to Pullman, and you don't know what you're going to get out of Pullman. You just don't know. If Connor Holiday throws the ball 75 times a game. I saw where Mike Leach fired a special teams coach this week. Of course he did, because they couldn't make a field goal at the end of the game. But my point on this is U of A is in a terrific spot nationally now. While you're right, it's a late East Coast game. I think in this new world, that we're in the playoffs and all that, that the people that are going to decide who's going to be in the Final Four are doing their due diligence to watch these. I don't sense that this is incompetence and Keystone Cops that's going on. Today down in Dallas, guys like Stuart Mandel and some other of the top college writers are doing a mock of what that committee has to go through. I think it's very smart from a media standpoint to take some of the national names and put them into that spot. And so I'm of the opinion that if it's Condoleezza Rice, Pat Hayden obviously is going to see up close and personal on Saturday night because he's part of that committee. So very much looking forward to that. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, you want to get away from the hustle and bustle, guys starting to look towards the weekend, thinking I'm going to head up to the White Mountains, go for a hike. Maybe you're one of those guys been drawn to go hunt, whatever. And you get up to Pine Top, you get up to the White Mountains in Sholo, beautiful area. If you've never been, the Honda Resort and Casino, that is the place to stay. And from day number one, they've been a part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. Appreciate their support. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Make your plans, head up there, eat some great food, have some fun, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Or if you're staying at your second home up there, your summer home now into fall, it's the Honda Resort and Casino. So we're doing the show here today in Tucson, having a great time. Very, very nice time. But there's some other things on my mind that are going on in the world of sports. We'll talk with Todd Walsh in about 20 minutes from Fox Sports Arizona. Todd went through some concussion stuff, and this is his first time back on the broadcast tonight, I do believe. So I want to talk to him about that. But he's going to be at the Coyotes opener tonight. They are now the Arizona Coyotes taking on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. I don't know if they're going to be any good. I don't know that. It appears to me on the front that when you lose Verbata and Ribeiro didn't do a whole heck of a lot, are they going to be able to score? Is it going to come down to Mike Smith? Is it going to be a bunch of 1-0, 2-0 games? I don't know who the new faces are going to be that step in and truly make an impact. Is this really a playoff team or not? I know this, the Coyotes have gone through a name change of the team, name change of the place that they play in. They are looking at having a controlling interest in the team being sold to somebody different. Once again, the Coyotes are in this space where are we going here? And I'm not ripping on them. It's just we've had uncertainty around the Coyotes. When I start getting the narrative, this will be in the best interest of the franchise. This will be terrific for the team. I think fans are tired of this because they've heard this over and over and over. And so you're Shane Doan, and you're looking around saying, do we have a chance to compete with the LA Kings this year to win a Stanley Cup? I think it's very fair questions to ask about his frustration level and how much longer he's going to want to sit through this. I watched a little bit of the Suns last night. You know, it's a preseason game. Bledsoe looked fine. Isaiah Thomas had 18. Bledsoe had 15. The Suns won a preseason game. That's fine. Here's Isaiah Thomas bouncing back from a slow start.
With me, all I just need to see is one shot go in, and then it could change the whole aspect of the game. So guys just kept telling me to shoot with confidence, and that's what I did. I got a shot going in the third quarter, and then it felt kind of good the rest of the game.
And here's Jeff Hornacek. He was not very happy. This is number three, Jordy. Hornacek, not happy, complacency last night.
That's probably what drove me nuts. I saw it this morning at shoot around. Where we just kind of thought they were going to go through the motions, weren't ready to go. Showed at the beginning of the game. Luckily, we got a deep team as the bench came in there and played well. And, that starting group got us behind both the first quarter and third quarter. So, obviously, we'll take a look at different lineups and find a group that can do it off the start.
Over at the Cardinals camp, so the quarterback situation still up in the air. We'll see if Carson Palmer can make it through an entire practice. Over at ASU, Taylor Kelly, my understanding this morning, was on the field today, but we'll see about him. He's got a week or so before 9 days if Todd Graham wants to decide any sooner than that. Or has Burko done enough to say, you know what, we're going to stick with Burko? We'll see. Jake Plummer will join us on the other side. We'll ask Jake, what does Todd Graham do? Also, we'll talk to Jake about Anu Solomon. Now, Jake does the Pac-12 network. He does a lot of national NFL stuff, talking college football next with Jake Plummer, as we broadcast live right outside the U of A football facilities here in Tucson. Big game Saturday night, number 10 Wildcats against the USC Trojans, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Live in Tucson at the University of Arizona football facility, Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. And it's great to be in Tucson for number 10 U of A against USC on Saturday night at 7:30 on ESPN2. Very, very big football game in the Pac-12 conference, along with several others. Jake Plummer joins us now for a couple of minutes. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeremy Kitomir about planning for a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. Jake Plummer brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing good, Brad. How you doing?
I love being a part of big games in college football. I'm right outside of Rich Rod's office here in Tucson doing our thing. And number 10 U of A, USC, Saturday night. Have you seen much of U of A this year? What do you make out of the Cats?
Well, I think it's a team that's definitely growing, and their confidence is getting better each week. A Hail Mary win against Cal. Could do wonders for a team. A game they probably should have lost, but they rallied and played 60 minutes and found a way to win. I think that Anu Solomon is just a phenomenal player, fun to watch. They played well against Oregon. They played really physical, and they beat the number two team in the country. And now they get a chance to play another great Pac-12 team in USC. It'll be a lot of fun to see USC's defense against that offense and see if they can stop USC's run game. But it's exciting. There's a lot of states that are having some pretty impressive ball clubs playing some ball, and Arizona's one of them with Arizona and Arizona State.
You know, you look at Anu Solomon, and you see what he's doing as a redshirt freshman. Give me a little bit more about what you like about him when you watch him play.
When I first watched him play, and I don't think it was early in the year against UNLV, you know, he was a little amped up and missed a few throws and looked a little nervous. But as he slowly, you know, fallen into his role as the leader and the guy out there, I think his teammates know, like, let's just roll with this kid. He's not going to be perfect every play or every drive, but the things he's going to do, you know, you're rarely going to see those kind of plays being made. He's smooth. He's quick. He's elusive, and he's very confident. You can see it. He's just confident and cool out there for a redshirt freshman. It's very impressive, and they got a good thing going down at U of A right now. The 10th ranked team in the country with a chance to continue to win against the Pac-12 teams, and right now they're the cream of the crop. I mean, they're sitting in a position to control their own destiny. But I definitely like our new Solomon. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Now, they're winning down here with 70 freshmen or sophomores. Rich Rod's coming in here and is 21-10 with his record. He's 2-0 against Oregon so far. And obviously, Michigan's probably looking at themselves saying, what did we do here? What, you know, we got ourselves into a mess, but he's come down here. And you know this as well as anybody. This has been, from my view in the 20 years plus, football's been something to kind of sort of do in between basketball season, and that's completely changed. Their game is sold out here. Greg Burns got this thing rocking. Rich Rod's got this thing moving forward, and I think there's a lot of good storylines, which I believe is better for the conference because you don't want a school just to be viewed as one sport.
Oh, definitely. You want to have a team that can play across the board of every sport, but I mean, U of A obviously has had some good teams in the past. Right now, we're just witnessing a team that's riding a high right now and winning games. And are they a program to be reckoned with now for the next 10 years? I don't know. We'll see. But it's got to be exciting to be part of the Wildcats and what's going on down there. And like you said, we know them for basketball. They had a great run this year in basketball. And now with the football team, it's got to be real exciting. And I think, you know, Rich Rod's a good coach. Michigan, I don't know what Michigan was thinking, but you know, it always happens that way. You know, there's always something better out there, and sometimes you get burned. And I'm hoping that, you know, a guy like Rich Rod will stick and stay in U of A for a long, long time, you know, 10, 15 years. And Todd Graham will stay at ASU, and then you get those rivalries built and those games that for, you know, a couple decades you talk about, those rivalries. And that's just I'm hoping that'll change in the college landscape as coaches sticking around a little longer at programs to build up those programs and see if they really are good coaches that can – continue to win, you know, throughout some ups and downs. And, you know, like Coach Snyder in Kansas State, I mean, the guy's a great coach. He's had a few bad years, but he always wins. And that's a sign of a good coach.
Jake Plummer with us, Pac-12 Network analyst. You're doing pro football as well. What do you have a pro game this week? Where are you at this week?
I'm off this week. You know, I was up in North Idaho having a handball tournament, and I'm traveling back home and had a chance to do a little work, but just said I wasn't able to do with the traveling. But I'll get out there and get a few more things going. I'll be in San Fran on Tuesday, get to talk about this week's games, which there's a lot of good ones out there again. It's last weekend was phenomenal. I was busy running my tourney, but man, all the upsets and the close games and just a great weekend of football.
You know, of course, I'm wired in a way. I'd like to see both ASU and U of A be in a position where Friday, November 28th, both teams are in the top 15, something like that. And I think that's possible. It's doable. Where it's, you know, I hear all about Ole Miss and Mississippi State. It's fine. It's SEC. I get it. I understand that there's history and tradition, all that stuff. But I'm sitting out here in Arizona saying, you know, if ASU and U of A could just figure it out and not be the 7-win, 8-win, 6-win, I think that the rivalry in this state, and so I want U of A to keep winning. I want ASU to keep winning. Call me a homer, whatever you want. I would love Friday, November 28th to be the Titanic of Titanic showdowns.
It'd be awesome. The Territorial Cup's a great game year in and year out. I mean, the last few, it seems like a team that's got a chance to go to a bowl and a team that's, you know, not really going to much, not had a great season. And, you know, it'd be fun to see both those teams come in with you know, the records they're sitting at right now, and hopefully have a big showdown. But, you know, all across the landscape of college, there's a lot more parity, and it's interesting to watch because know, it's every team that's ranked up there in the top 10, that's just a big target on your back. And teams step up and play, you know, a little bit better ball. They hone in a little more because it's a chance to upset a top-ranked team. So now U of A, we get to see what they can do playing as a top 10 team. You know, they're ranked 10th, and, you know, no longer are they a surprise or a team that someone's going to go to play. And so we're playing the Wildcats. Now they've legitimately won and some big games, so it's going to be fun to see. And obviously, anytime you got good football going across, I want every Pac-12 team to win, unless, you know, they're playing Arizona State. Obviously, I want ASU to win, but I want the whole conference to win and beat those big boys. I mean, USC beat Notre Dame. I want to see those big wins for our conference because it's a beast of a conference to play in, and we play nine conference games, unlike some other of the big storied conferences out there, and that's the way it should be. That's why I played in the Pac-10, because you got to play the best of the best, and I think these kids now are realizing that week in and week out, it's you don't know what's going to happen. From Washington State all the way up to the top, I mean, Cal, all the teams are competitive, so it's a lot of fun to watch each week.
Okay, so give me the team that is more of a question mark to you, Oregon or UCLA, and really is a playoff elimination game on Saturday?
Man, it's tough. It's seeing what UCLA did to the Devils, and then they go out, and I didn't watch the Utah game. I did see the tail end of it when you know, they missed the field goal in Utah. Right. I saw them make the field goal, but you know, it's just, that just goes to show, I mean, that there's talent across the board, and I liken it to the NFL, where in the NFL, there's not a real big discrepancy in talent. All those guys are the best of the best. They've been drafted or been made it through the weeding out process to become a player on a 53-man roster. And each week, you think they might be a bad team at sitting at 1-5, but the talent is there, and it all depends on the mindset and bringing your A game. And that's where these coaches play such a big part, you know, motivating the players, getting them ready, making sure that, you know, hey, you have a bad half. That's okay. We got a second half to come out and play. And it just got to keep going and keep playing. I think there's a lot of parity across the board in college, especially the Pac-12, where Washington State is a threatening team. They're scary to play because they're going to – I think Connor Halliday, we could watch him throw for 1,000 yards in a game this year. It's unheard of, the yards these guys are putting up. And right now, that anything can happen when you're throwing the ball like that. And it's a lot of fun. We'll see what UCLA and Oregon do. I think Oregon, you know, they got a wake-up call again. Maybe that'll turn them, get them a little bit more aggressive and a little tougher and tighten it up a little. They probably have a chance to be the best team in the Pac-12, but, you know, there's still a lot of football to be played.
It's interesting that on the second week of October, I'm talking about Cal in first place in the North and U of A undefeated in the South, which I think is great for the conference overall. But, you know, back on Connor Halliday, I'm a Heisman voter. I'm not saying that I'm going to vote for him, but I think there comes a point where you just look at the numbers and you say, maybe I should just look at this a little bit closer. I'm not saying at all that he's the guy, but yeah. That offense up there is, and I've not seen, I saw a good portion of the second half of that game, and Mike Leach fires a special teams coach. Washington State should have won that game more than once. But what do you make out of Connor Halliday?
I like him. He's strappy. He's tough. He takes a lot of hits. He just keeps getting up and throwing the football. He's making better decisions today, you know, this year down in the red zone. And, you know, he's fearless. I mean, they're throwing the ball so much. You know, I don't say he's a Heisman candidate because you got to have those signature wins. And now he doesn't have one of those yet. But, you know, let's wait and see what happens. I mean, you got to get those big wins, get onto that big stage. You know, a new Solomon is a kid that is playing at a high level and has his team ranked 10th. And he's a guy that could creep into the talk just because they're undefeated. And what he's doing is helping that team win ball games. So who knows with the Heisman. That's why, you know, I think that you let it go until late in the year, and then you look and see who's been carrying their teams and making those plays. But there are some great players across the board. And Connor Halliday is one of them that's throwing the rock all over the place. Washington State won't win, though. They got to run. You got to run the ball. You got to be able to run it consistently against the big boys. I mean, throwing is pretty, as Coach Cazzetto used to say. You throw to score and you run to win, and that's basically what it is. You got to be able to run the ball if you want to win, especially late in the year when the weather changes and it gets cold. And got to be able to tote that rock on the ground.
Before I let you go, Jake, where were you when Jalen Strong caught the football for ASU?
It's funny. I was in our hospitality room talking to some people and having a cold beverage, and my nephew came in and said, "Oh man, ASU defense just let him down." And I said, "What happened?" And they let him go score. And after ASU, you know, scored to get close. And so I went out there, and there was a little bit of time left, and they're down by two. And I said, "Well, wait a sec. They got the ball, Declan. They're not out of it." And I watched the throw to the midfield, and then I watched him drop back. And when he threw it up, and Jalen Strong, what a great play by him. And I think all the great coaches are going to go back and reevaluate their coach, their defensive philosophy on Hail Marys, because I've never seen as many defenders on their feet, flat on the ground on a Hail Mary play, because we were always taught, and I remember hearing guys on special teams teach our guys to jump up and high point that thing like a volleyball and smash it down. And I mean, there are defenders on the ground waiting to get an interception. I mean, that's waiting to lose. And Jalen Strong went and snatched that ball out of the air, and what a huge play. It was awesome. Great excitement, and everyone was freaking out. And I was running around a little bit, getting a little bit excited, because what an awesome thing to witness, really. And I got to tip my hat to Bert Capici, man. That kid showing why he stayed, got his teammates behind him. He rallied them on the sideline. He never let them give up. And, you know, that's what these kids have to do. I see kids pouting on the sideline, long face sitting around. You know, U of A was one of them against or not U of A, but Oregon was one of them against U of A. Guys sitting there pouting and looking around. It's like, get up off the bench. You got to rally those kids, and Burko's doing a great job of that.
I had him on Monday, and he's what everything that is right about college football. Everything that when you have the crazy dad and all that stuff, hey, point to this kid, and this is what you should aspire to be. So I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your tip.
Yeah, you got to tip your hat to him and all those guys for just fighting through tough spots against UCLA and finding a way to win.
Stay well. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Jake.
Hey, Brad. Thank you. We'll talk to you, man.
Good visiting with you, Jake Plummer, as always, every week on the show. Jake Plummer breaking it down, talking some college football, a lot of fun. Brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ameriprise Financial, big part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com with the Jake Plummer Report. Appreciate Jake joining us every week. On the other side, it is Todd Walsh. So Todd has been battling concussions, and he is now back. And tonight, the Coyotes have their first game of the season on Fox Sports Arizona. And I want to talk to Todd about that. Jake Plummer, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about planning for a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. Ameriprise Financial, part of Sports360AZ.com. Back with more after this timeout.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Live from Tucson, outside the U of A football offices, they get ready for their big showdown on Saturday night against the USC Trojans, number 10 U of A, Rich Rod and Company. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Tonight is the Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes, opening night of the season. The game is on Fox Sports Arizona. And part of my interest in this broadcast tonight is seeing Todd Walsh, somebody that I respect a great deal, known for many, 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 many. It's like over 20 years. Todd went through some health issues, and he is back on the broadcast. Now, your health issues, was it fair to say, Todd, completely, totally concussion-related?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. And it's great to be back. But a little post-concussion syndrome that will put the fear of God in you. And I have a great appreciation for what anyone who has ever had anything like this has had to deal with and is still dealing with. And there are just things that you can't comprehend until you've had to sit in that chair and look at the wall and wonder if the TV is going to stop spinning around and when light isn't going to bother you. And I could go on and on, but I feel like I've turned the corner. I've been cleared and had some of the greatest, fortunately had some of the greatest people on earth to sort of help me through this. So I'm ready to roll.
Good. And I know the story, you want to focus on the ice, but I do want to, just for the audience, how did you suffer the injury?
I just got in a car accident. Somebody did a, it was a hit and run, and I thought I was okay. And my message on this is simple. As I know so many people get in, you know, it wasn't a severe accident, and I turned the people that were there to help me away, so I was fine. And as the week progressed, it was obvious that I wasn't. I actually did one Diamondbacks game, and I began to realize I wasn't even looking at the camera. I couldn't look at the lights. I was looking at my notes, which I kind of pride myself on not doing when I'm on camera. And
sure.
Did some weird things during the week. I went to, I'm laughing now, I drove to my old radio station, which I hadn't been to in 10 years, just sort of walked in, and then I woke up the next day, and the room was spinning, and it didn't stop for a long time. But it's sort of the age-old story. You think you can get through something. And I did call a number of athletes that I know and have covered that I know have gone through it. I called Mike Smith of Coyotes, his first call I made, because the whiplash that I sustained reminded me of a hit he took in the playoff series against the Chicago Blackhawks. And I asked him, you know, what do you think is going to happen, and where should I go? And I was still pretty coherent at the time, and he just said, and any guy that's listening of our age, Brad, is going to appreciate this. He said, don't just think this is going to go away. And I, you know, I've done that my whole life. I've had cavities turn into root canals, and, you know, it's just the age-old story of being, you know, over 40 and thinking you're still sort of invincible. And then, but that was the best advice I had, and I was able to get to see Dr. David Dodick at the Mayo Clinic through Scott Peters of ASU, through Jude LaCava, and I was very, very fortunate. But my message is, you know, I don't care what the speed of the accident is, or if your head is involved, take some time. And I just began to realize, and I sound like I'm on a soapbox, I guess I am, but the only thing that began to matter was getting back and getting healthy and not, you know, not worrying about Diamondbacks games or Coyote games or
right.
monthly shows. Then that was a hard lesson. You know, I know how you work, and I know how a lot of people in our business work. You put that aside and you just keep plowing ahead, and seasons turn into years. Well, that just came to a complete halt for me, and it was a huge lesson. So hopefully I can incorporate just some of that as I move forward for the rest of my life. I can't do things the way that I used to do them, and I'm going to do that by choice. I'm not going to just be hell bent for leather and to say yes to everything ever again.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Are you 90%, 100%, 50%? Where do you think you are?
Oh, that's hilarious. I told Dave Tippett if it was game 7 the other day, I'm going. I've been cleared by everybody. There are certain things that I think I'm going to probably be dealing with for a long time. Just, you know, if vertigo pops up every now and then, but as far as cognitively, I think I'm the same as I was, which probably isn't a great thing, but I feel like I'm on top of everything. I'll be curious to see how the game goes. I know how I haven't been on the air in 2 months.
And the thing is, Todd, you know, the Coyotes, you have a new name, you have a potential for a new owner. You have, you don't know who's going to score. So it's like they're relying on Mike Smith in goal. And I'm looking at Shane, and I don't mean to be a downer on opening night, but I'm wondering if I'm Shane, I'm looking around saying, okay, I've been through this a lot of times. You know, there's questions, I guess, I'm getting at coming into this season. This isn't all happy faces.
Yeah, no, I think the one thing I know, just being around these guys since I could, and I've only been able to be around them since October 1st, so it's kind of a shotgun marriage for me. But it's sort of back to the old blueprint and the old map for how they get things done, which is all hands on deck. They lost a lot of production, as you clearly know, in the form of Mike Ribeiro and Radim Vrbata, and they didn't do the youth movement that they were talking about doing. So, but there is a commitment, I think, to what we saw 3 years ago that they did get away from. I asked some really specific questions yesterday at Dave Tippett, Shane Donkey, Gamble. You know, there were games, Brad, where they were up a goal in the third period where in that one magical season, that was a win. That was 2 points. And they weren't winning those games. And it was just inexplicable as to how they were doing it. They got away from themselves. They they stopped having confidence. But I love Shane Dawes' answer yesterday. He said, you know what, we have to keep playing the way that we play and not sit back. We just play the way we play, but not just when we have that lead, but all the time. It sounds like such a little cliche, but they got away from that whole thing. They got those leads, and then Mike Smith was not having a banner year. I think he'd be the first one to tell you. The wheels just fell off. I mean, and you just walked away shaking your head saying, what just happened here? So I think they felt it and lived it, and now they're coming back. They don't have any superstars. They don't, you know, it's the same blueprint. So we could talk about offense and lack of it till we're blue in the face. That game plan is still the same. It's the guy between the pipes. And if he's consistent, if he's middle of the pack, they make the playoffs. They'll be in the hunt. And that's kind of the way this whole thing's been built anyway. So that's what I'm looking at.
Best of luck on the season. Good to hear your voice, and I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Bear down there. Say hello to everyone. Grab an EG's grinder. You won't regret it.
Eric's already on me about it. He's like, okay. I drove, so we're going to EG's. Okay. That's the way it works.
Okay. Go to Sausage Deli, have the Susie Sorority, and maybe stop at General Ben's for a little bit. I know a guy.
I know you do. Stay well, Todd. Thanks. This is Todd Walsh for a couple of minutes. The Fox Sports Arizona show tonight around the Arizona Coyotes. 7 p.m. face-off. I'm sure they have pregame stuff before. Winnipeg Jets, Arizona Coyotes tonight. And the hockey season gets off and running. So on the other side, we had the A.J. McCarron story yesterday about how he was questioning Nick Saban. So A.J. McCarron has now come out, and he was actually ripped by Fran Tarkington, of all people, for criticizing Nick Saban. And he has actually gone back now on what he said yesterday. You'll hear that on the other side. Much more. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford, for me, makes a lot of sense. The Sesmat household. I swung by Santan Ford, visited with General Manager Tim Hovick day before yesterday. He was in Denver with the Cardinals over the weekend, but he's like, first thing, how about ASU? How about those Devils? And you want to talk about what's going on with ASU. Then we went over to the Diamondbacks, and we want to talk about that. Then you want to talk about the Cardinals. And then he's like, hey, I got to go because we're working on a couple deals, so I need to get over there and close some things out. It's fine. That's what it's all about. I mean, he's there to get the vehicles moved out. And for you, if you're looking for that new vehicle, that certified pre-owned vehicle, do what I've done through the years. Swing on into Santan Ford. It's just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford, a big part of Sports360AZ.com. Since day number one, we appreciate their support. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Back with more from Tucson, just outside of the U of A football offices, right out the front door here, the Lowell Stevens facility, sports360az.com. Live in Tucson, Brad Sussmat, right outside the U of A football offices here, the Lowell Stevens facility, getting ready for number 10 U of A football against the USC Trojans on Saturday night here in Tucson, game of the week, sports360az.com. Actually, the story of the week in Arizona sports, without question, is this program. Game sold out. They are geeked. This may be the most attended. We'll have Greg Byrne here in about 15 minutes. This may be the most attended game in the history of U of A football when it's all said and done. They handed me a note here a little bit ago. Zach Werlinger out of Basha High School, quarterback at Basha, named one of the 5 National Football Foundation National High School Scholar Athlete honorees. Good for him. 2014 graduate. I know Zach well. Should have dated my daughter. There, I'll say it like that. Had 20 touchdowns in his junior year, 53 for his career at Basha High. So, way to go. The things that come out on this show. All right, so let's get into this A.J. McCarron stuff a little bit further. Yesterday, we were having fun with all of the stuff in the South. It's great in the South. And I've got some Cardinal stuff I want to get to in a second, too. But it's great in the South where they take their football at a level that I actually admire to a certain degree. I think there is a lot of over-the-top, not a little over-the-top, but a lot of over-the-top. When you have A.J. McCarron having his own weekly segment on a show in Tuscaloosa, even though he's not playing at all in the NFL, I don't know. I get the whole deal with Catherine Webb, and Eric believes that A.J. McCarron – may well be the greatest quarterback on the history of the planet. Am I understating that or overstating?
No. You're, as usual, you are putting words in my mouth and twisting the facts. He is one of the better big game quarterbacks to ever play at Alabama.
Okay, so we said yesterday after McCarron criticized Nick Saban and along the lines of the perhaps Coach Saban is handcuffing his offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin. And we said then we felt as though there'd be a retraction coming because I'm sure he's going to get crushed. So this is not Brad's right. Here's McCarron. Now, this is number five, Jordy. McCarron, his quotes about Nick Saban handcuffing his coordinator.
That's the bad side of media. And, you know, for the guy that first started it all and wrote the article, I mean, that's his job. The negative attracts people to click on the article and read it more, and then it goes from there, and, you know, now his name's all over the place, so it helps sell their product.
Of course. It's our fault. It's always our fault.
And that was A.J. McCarron talking about the reporter who basically just transcribed his radio interview and put in a story.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because we played the quotes yesterday.
That's it. That's
Did
it.
You not say that Coach Saban handcuffs
him? He may be a great big game quarterback in college, but he has no idea how the media world works.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's our fault.
Did you say the story said, Brad? He was what was the word?
Oh, what was it?
Misstated. Misstated.
Yeah.
I was misstated with what I said.
I've been misstated, of course.
Well, you said it. reported it.
I misworded it. Oh, gosh. So here's a little bit more A.J. McCarron on when he said Alabama lacked leaders.
I misworded last night, and I'll admit that. What I meant, because I gave an example right after I said that, which was a vocal leader example. So that's what I should have said, is vocal leader. They have, and I mentioned last night, they have plenty of leaders on the team.
Yeah. Oh, man, just stick with what you said. You said it.
Own up.
Exactly. You said, and there's no problem with that. I mean,
sure
Alabama is, I don't know. When you lose a game and you're Alabama, even if you're an alum and a great quarterback, you can criticize. I think that's fair.
But see, here's the thing. In this day and age, when you're going to take the lowest of easiest and say it's somebody else's fault rather than mine, I have no tolerance for that.
So
and that
bad.
Happens all over the place now in sports. Oh, well, we didn't do anything wrong. Of course you didn't. You know, it's like here, they're winning with 70 freshmen or sophomores. And one of those is Anu Solomon. And Anu Solomon, I'm surprised Jake said that Anu Solomon could be.
Jake Plummer, who was with us earlier.
Yeah, Jake was with us earlier. Said that Anu could be a Heisman, use the H word, around.
Let's just tap the brakes. Let's tap the brakes.
But look, I'm fine having conversation here in Arizona rather than college football is not that big of a deal. It'll never be like it is in the South. No, I disagree with that. Yeah, there's a lot of Ohio State fans and their program blows. There's a lot of Michigan fans, their program blows. It's fine. I think what we have here between ASU getting ready for Stanford next week, U of A here, just keep winning, boys.
And that's the thing,
just
Brad.
Keep winning.
What if ASU lost to USC as we all expected towards the end? And what if Oregon took care of business against U of A like everyone thought they would?
We'd be in our uptown Scottsdale studios today.
Where would the hype be? Where would the buzz be? In the SEC, that's every single week, win, lose, draw. That's why here, you know how it is in Arizona. I'll say it. Everyone loves a winner.
No, but the story here is the story down here is really good.
Yeah, and clearly Rich Rodriguez has this program headed in the right direction. I mean, well ahead of schedule because he was not left with a ton when he took over.
Anu Solomon has 8 runs of 10-plus yards. His 348.2 yards passing per game ranks 7th in the nation. His passing efficiency rating of 153.1 is 3rd in the country.
It's crazy.
Among freshmen. You know, if you're able to win Saturday night here against USC, and then you have a bye week, I wonder, you know, how it is up in Pullman, where there's nothing else to do in Pullman except maybe go to the Taco Bell. But if Washington keeps struggling, I wonder how many fans here will would travel. Because
maybe.
U of A football, they don't bring a whole lot.
Maybe. And this is a big week down here in Tucson this weekend off the field because they're going to have a ton of recruits in.
125 recruits.
It's a night game. It's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, nationally televised.
It's a big stage. It's certainly a big stage.
The Cardinals, and I'm going to talk more about the Cardinals tomorrow. Mike Sandow had a great note today. The Cardinals are 3-1 despite playing the toughest schedule in the NFL to this point. Cardinals have the number one toughest schedule. Opponents are 13-6. It's a .684 winning percentage. And he points out, not bad minus the starting quarterback plus key defenders. So there's something for you when you're talking about the Cardinals with your friends. Toughest schedule in the NFL so far by wins and losses. You're a Cardinals. Now, the Redskins, I talked to a friend of mine in Washington, a media guy, and he pointed out to me that, you know, Kirk Cousins is not playing all that badly. He doesn't like to run the football that much, but he's managing games well. DeSean Jackson, of course, is part of the deal. But if you're the Cardinals and you look at Kirk Cousins, and let's say you're the Cardinals offense, let me go over on the quarterback side. I understand there's not a Russell Wilson on the Cardinals side of the field, but if you're the quarterback of the Cardinals, whoever it is on Sunday, you have to at least consider running a little bit because the defense of the Redskins was just awful. And they've got a new coach in Jay Gruden. He's got to figure out who can play, who's mailing it in. They're sitting there already at 1-4. Their defensive coordinator, Jim Haslett, they only have 4 turnovers in 5 games. That's awful. So you look at both those numbers. And Brian Arakpo, they gave him $11 million as a franchise guy. He has half a sack. Trent Murphy, Valley guy, not playing a whole lot out of Brophy. I'd like to see Trent on the field more. He's a rotation guy right now. So there's some interesting side stories to the Cardinals game on Sunday. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, and at Sports360AZ. AZ live in Tucson outside the U of A football offices getting ready for Saturday night, number 10, University of Arizona against the USC Trojans. We're back with our number 2 on the road. It's great to be on the road. And Eric and I have much more ahead. Greg Byrne scheduled to join us here in a couple of minutes, the athletic director here at the U of A. I wanted to play the numbers game with Greg. Give me numbers around this game. And we'll talk a little bit about the basketball program, too, down here and what's going on there. But primarily football next with Greg Byrne talking about the U of A on the road. Stay with us. Off we go now, our number 2 in Tucson with the U of A getting ready for their showdown Saturday night. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for joining us. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports on a busy, busy Thursday here in Tucson. Brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. Have you flown out of Gateway? Nearly 40, count them, 40 different locations that you can get to out of Gateway Airport through Allegiant Air. You can do it at very, very minimal cost. And Gateway is simple to get around. It's terrific to get out of Gateway Airport. It is just plain easy. They can take you direct into Eugene, Oregon. You want to see Oregon? Knock yourself out. Fly direct on Allegiant. You can get up to Las Vegas, get over to Oakland, fly direct into Provo, fly into Telluride with ski season getting started. It's on Allegiant Air at Gateway Airport, Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Greg Byrne, VP and Director of Athletics, will join us here in a couple of minutes. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports here in Tucson. We talked all about Anu Solomon. We have not talked about Nick Wilson much. If we're talking about impact freshmen so far this season, Nick Wilson already has 300-yard rushing games in just 5 appearances. And through those 5 games, he's become Arizona's leading rusher. He's second in the conference. He's averaging 114 yards per game on the ground. And so they have a home run hitter who's just a freshman, and Anu Solomon's a redshirt freshman. So you look at the future, what's going on down here with 70 freshmen and sophomores. And their showdown on Saturday night, it's a true showdown. This is no joke. You know, it's ESPN2. They've got Dave Pasch, great Dave Pasch, Brian Greasy, and our buddy Tom Luganville, the 3 of them here doing the game at 7:30. So the country will be able to watch them. Yeah, on the East Coast, they'll knock themselves out by halftime. But still, more national exposure for them. And, you know, the angles about what Rich Rod has done down here, we brought this up last week. How do you think the guys in Michigan are feeling right about now? probably not so hot. 21-10 with a couple of wins over Oregon. They're expecting one of the biggest, if not the biggest. Hey, Molly, could this be the biggest crowd in the history of U of A on Saturday night? Yeah, it could be. Could be. I saw where 59-9 in an ASU U of A game. 60? You're going to get 60? Yeah. So they don't do standing room here, though. So they're thinking they're going to have 60,000. I'll talk to Greg about that when he gets here in a few minutes. Of course, U of A already at 5-0. They're one win away from bowl eligibility. So looking forward to that. On the other college football stuff that caught my eye today at ASU practice, Taylor Kelly working through his sides of things, and we'll see if he's back by next week in their matchup against Stanford. On the NFL front, Texans and Colts play tonight. In the other NFL side, you have the Cardinals and Washington on Sunday, and plenty of notes I'll get to around the Cardinals. I think the big note there is Cardinals are 3-1 despite playing the toughest schedule in the NFL. Which caught my eye. Their opponents are 13-6. Coyotes open their season tonight. They're now the Arizona Coyotes. They have their matchup against the Winnipeg Jets. New name, potential for a new owner. And the Suns, they win their opener last night in preseason play. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the good people at Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it was just plain easy. As promised, VP and Director of Athletics, always good to see Greg Byrne. I know he's busy running around doing all sorts of things, but nice enough to swing on by here with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central's. We partner with the Arizona Republic. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am terrific because I see a football program that has a lot of angles. As you and I sat here in August, we had, okay, who's the quarterback going to be? We didn't say anything about a kid named Nick Wilson. Didn't say anything about these receivers that have come along. I'm sure Texas is saying to themselves, how do we let this one kid get away? I mean, there's a lot of really good stories. Give me some numbers, if you could, Greg, around this Saturday night in terms of business. Okay.
Sure.
Business side Saturday night. I'm hearing 60,000.
Well, no, 57,000, 56 and some change.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the great things about it is that we were sold out on Monday night, basically. And so we didn't have to kind of work it through the entire week. Now it gives us an opportunity to try to sell the remainder games that we have. But people are excited. They're jumping on board. I was in San Francisco yesterday for Pac-12 meetings, and I was flying back last night and sat next to a family who was coming down for the game. They said, we haven't been back to campus for a lot of years. We just decided we're going to go do this. And so it all of a sudden has created this energy and this enthusiasm across the board. So be a full house Saturday. We expect great energy. Obviously, we'll be on ESPN2, so we'll have a lot of eyeballs watching us across the country. And so it momentum and enthusiasm it's contagious. Mm-hmm. And I think no matter what happens Saturday, I think we've got a lot of that going on, and we want to just hopefully capitalize on that and take that for the remainder of the season, but also long term for us. You know, as an AD, you obviously are looking week to week. But I'm also looking at long term and what that
sure
means. And I like what's going on. I like the direction of the program and what Coach Rodriguez and his staff are doing. And when I say this, I mean this without being disrespectful to anybody. He took over a challenging situation. There was a lot of issues and a lot of things to work through, and he and his staff have done a great job with it. And the cupboard needed some restocking in some ways, and that's not a it's not a knock on anybody in the past, is what it was.
Yeah.
And the great thing, though, is the kids that were here bought in from day one. And yeah, I've said the story a couple times. I may have said it on your show before. I always remember his first staff meeting, because I've seen coaches come in and say, well, you know, I got to get my guys. And he immediately in the first staff meeting said, guys, you're my guys. I know I didn't recruit you, but you're my guys, and I'm going to embrace you like you are. And talking to the guys who've graduated in the last couple years, they felt that. They really believed it. And I think that's going to bode well for the future. Because one of the many strengths that Coach Rodriguez and his staff have, you spend some time with them, he's very genuine. And you know, everybody can give you coach speak and all those things, but he's very genuine with his approach. And I think the high school coaches are seeing that in the state. I think the high school coaches in the West are seeing that. And I think that's one of our strengths going forward.
Greg Byrne, VP Director of Athletics with Brad Sussmat, live at Tucson Sports 360. AZ Central, as we partner with the Arizona Republic. The Rich Rod narrative of what happened at Michigan, how they're kicking themselves, and him coming here What do you make out of all that? Because you made a terrific hire before you came here, too, that's working out really well.
Well, I told Paula Bolden the other day, every once in a while, blind squirrel finds a nut. And that's the approach I have. But it's when you go through a coaching search, obviously the fan bases have extreme opinions about what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. I can tell you, having done it twice as an AD, you have access to inside information that not everybody else has.
Sure.
And so even though you want people to feel like their opinion counts, and it does, you also have to sometimes block out that noise and say, you know, what, this is who I think's the right fit for us. And so I did a lot of research on what took place at Michigan. It was interesting. I always remember this, we announced the change on a Monday, Tuesday. Coach Rodriguez and I were on the phone for about an hour and had such a good conversation on Thursday. I jumped on a Southwest flight and went back to Detroit, and he picked me up at the airport, and we were driving over back to Ann Arbor, and he said, well, you know, Greg, there's a book coming out, Three and Out. And he started telling me about it, and he was kind of mixed on it. And I remember thinking, well, it was going to come out like the next Monday. I may have been the first person in the country to download it to my iPad on that Monday.
Yeah.
And 2 days later I had most of it read. And I called him and I said, you know, okay, if I'm in your shoes, I think this book makes you look pretty good.
Mm.
And I think it gives a lot of explanation and background on some of the challenges that may have been there. And it helped me a lot in my process, but it also gave me some other angles that I could go out and do and research on. And ultimately, it wasn't too far from there, even though it took us a little while before we actually announced it. I got really comfortable with Coach Rodriguez and his team and his staff coming here. And I think you're seeing the positive results. At that same time, we'll have ups and downs. We'll continue in the process. But I feel like we've made a lot of good progress. And it's not just what's going on in the field. It's the weight room. It's the classroom. It's every part of your program, recruiting. I feel like we've made a lot of strides. I'm really pleased with the progress we've made in state. I think we've gotten up into Phoenix and had success there. And I think that'll bode well for a lot of hopefully future things. Because if you're a Phoenix kid, a lot of kids want to go away to school. But they can go away to school 100 miles down the road. Their family can come drive with a tank of gas to watch them play. And at the same time, too, they can also have that separation apart of being an 18 to 22-year-old and learning how to get on your own 2 feet. So I think it's really it offers the best of both worlds for the top student-athletes in the state of Arizona. We feel that way with all of our sports.
As I heard, you're going to have 125 recruits here on Saturday.
Yeah, how about that?
And I'm sure you're going to have some basketball kids here, too, because you want them to see the environment and all that.
Yeah, well, Sean Miller says all the time one of the greatest things that can happen for his men's basketball program is to have a full Arizona stadium, mm-hmm. because he brings the recruits here. And just a few years ago, Nick Johnson committed to U of A after the Iowa football game the mm-hmm. next day, I think, or maybe 2 days later. But one of the things is he was just blown away with that type of environment. And, you know, like we said earlier, it's contagious. Yeah.
So when you hired Mullins and you hired Rich, you have something, okay? ADs miss.
You're never going to bat 1,000.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, you miss on coaches. But your last couple of football hires, Greg, I mean, what is it that you look for?
Each situation is different. I was really fortunate because Mitch Barnhart, who's the AD at Kentucky, included me on two football hires. I worked for him for 7 years at Oregon State and Kentucky.
Yep.
And we hired Dennis Erickson at Oregon State right after he got let go by the Seahawks. And I watched that process of what Mitch went through. And then we hired Rich Brooks at Kentucky, and we were Mitch especially was absolutely beat up badly for that hire. Rich Brooks ended up being a heck of a coach for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And Mitch felt that was the right thing to do, even though it wasn't a popular hire. He felt it was the right hire. And so I got to watch that and be a part of it and see, you know, maneuver those waters, which are really interesting because when you're hiring a football coach or a men's basketball coach, you have not only your fan base watching you, obviously you're going to need to make sure you keep the president in the loop and let them know what's going on, and they're going to be involved at whatever level they want to. Board of Regents, you have to keep them in the loop. But at the same time, too, you got to keep it quiet because I've seen coaching searches where they may have their second choice up there on the podium announcing it, but because of the way the leaks have been, it may look like the seventh or eighth choice.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, that's not right. So every time I've been through one, we've tried to keep the information extremely tight. And I have a policy that I tell every candidate that if it gets out that they're talking to us, that according to sources, they're the leading candidate. According to sources, they've interviewed with us. The agents are doing that. Yeah. And I'll say, I assume you don't want the job.
Yeah.
And I said, you just try me. And
have you blown somebody off because of that or blown someone out?
Actually, the one person I said I wasn't going to, yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but I have.
That's for your book.
Yeah, I guess so, if I ever write one. And so each one is, you got to find that right fit. Yeah. Who's there? Who are you comfortable with? And each place is different. What will fit in Tucson, Arizona may not fit in the Northeast, may not fit in the Northwest. And same thing with Starkville, Mississippi. And so you got to find that person you think is the right fit for your area and for your program. And at the end of the day, coaches are hard charging, driven people. To get to be able to be the head football coach at Arizona or Mississippi State or wherever it is, you're pretty darn good. You're an elite company. I also think you can be a good guy. And finding that balance. And I knew Rich before we hired him. I wasn't real close to him, but I've been around him a few times. But every time I walked away in my conversations with Coach Rodriguez before he came to Arizona, I was like, you know, he's a good guy. And I like that. And because I don't want it to be a drag that every time I come walking into his office or he comes walking into my office, that is like, I got to deal with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's going to have opinions. I'm going to have opinions and we may not always agree 100%, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And the thing I love about him and I love about Coach Miller and I love about our coaches across the board here at Arizona, one is they're good people. And two is I've got a real simple philosophy as well. I don't have any daughters, my wife and I don't, but we have two sons. Unfortunately, they have their dad's genes to overcome. But if they were getting recruited in that sport, would I want my son to play for them? Yeah. If I had a daughter, would I want my daughter to play for them? That doesn't mean they're always going to love the coach.
Right.
That doesn't mean that sometimes a parent's going to think, oh, my son or daughter should be playing over this kid, which I don't deal with at all. I cut that off immediately if a parent ever tries to bring that up.
Hmm.
But that they care about the kid as an athlete, obviously, as a student, socially, and who they're going to become. And if you don't care about that, then that's going to be tough for them to be our coach.
Greg Byrne with us. It's good stuff there. Before I let you go, so on a housekeeping level, Pac-12 director of officials leaves.
Yes.
Last night, does that concern you here at this point of the season?
Well, I think the hay's in the barn for this year. That surprised me. Larry Scott told us yesterday when we were up in our meeting, and we had no idea it was coming.
Yeah.
Tony, I think, had done a good job of improving a lot of things. I know officiating is in today's world with our giant video boards with 12 different camera angles slowing it down. They've got a tough job now. And so there's times that they make mistakes that I really feel for them. It's like, you know, they're giving their best effort. There's other times from an operational standpoint that are fundamentals in officiating, when they make a mistake there, that's where you get a little more grumpy and you say, come on.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. But I certainly feel across the board, our officials are doing the best they can. And, can they continue to improve? Yeah. But you know what? I can improve as an AD too.
Mm.
And I think we sometimes lose sight of that. The toughest one is when a call or two in a game impacts the final score and your ability to win or lose that thing. And that's when you feel like, man, they got to get these ones right. And that includes the replay official in that part too. It very rarely it gets any attention, but the officials are held accountable. And I think that's a good thing. We all have to be held accountable in the jobs that we do. And you hope that the calls that they're making from a fundamental officiating standpoint are good. And I think the majority of them are.
Have fun Saturday night. This should be a rocking environment.
It should be. We appreciate it. Everybody in our we've got such a good staff of people, our marketing staff, our operations staff, who work tireless hours, who are the first ones to unlock the stadium and they're the last ones to turn the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group effort, and I'm just proud of the people we have here. They care about this university, they care about our student athletes, care about our fans, and we're going to make mistakes along the way, but we're going to give a great effort every single day in what we do.
Thanks for the hospitality and for having us.
Thanks for coming down.
Appreciate
Bear down
as always.
Yeah,
Greg Byrne.
All right,
good seeing you. VP of Director of Athletics.